Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience tuning in at WYED 94.1 FM and WYEDonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tuning in online worldwide, thanks to our podcast, we're glad you all could be with us as well. For those who love action and adventure, I know you guys are going to love this next segment. We're excited to welcome New York Times bestselling author Christopher Reich to our broadcast today. Christopher is an author who's been able to give us some great work over the years, been able to take us all over the world. And he does that once again in his number one new release, Matterhorn. We're going to talk to him not only about the new book, what it's been like for him to see the way that people are responding to Mac Decker in this book and the adventure he takes us all on. And, of course, we'll let you guys know how to stay connected with Christopher as well. Christopher, thank you again for stopping by. Really do appreciate the time today.
Hey, Cyrus. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, at the time we're having this conversation, Christopher, of course, the book just officially came out April the 1st, and it's still 10 days later. You're still the number one book in three categories on Amazon, of course, including number one book in terrorism thrillers, and our audience will definitely see why when they get into the book. What has it been like for you, Christopher, from book to book, to not only do what you love as a storyteller, but to see the way that readers can't get enough of these books?
Well, you know, that's the thing when you're writing these books, you're writing them for your readers, for your audience. So obviously it feels great when, you know, you spend a year writing these books or longer. So you're so eager to see how they're accepted. And when Matterhorn came out and people just love it, obviously it makes me really, really happy. And, you know, I guess I did what I set out to do.
Yeah. And the thing about you, I can say this from having read your work prior to Matterhorn, Chris, is that you really take a lot of yourself. And what I mean by that is, I mean, it's very obvious the amount of detail that's in these books, you know, your own passion, you know, for the world traveling that kind of comes into this, but also in being able to tell a story that really draws the reader in. For yourself, what was it like for you to see the way that you kind of took Decker on this journey, and by extension, all of us, if he was not only in the search to do what was right, but also to get answers for himself?
Well, you know, I set these books. They're all international settings. I've spent a lot of time living overseas. I'm a Swiss citizen. So this book was really a combination of my love of mountain climbing, of alpinism, my fascination with the Matterhorn itself. A lot of the book does take place on the Matterhorn, which, you know, as you know, is the most iconic mountain, you know, in the world. Everyone, with one look, you know what it is. Or you could certainly look at your Toblerone chocolate bar and see it. But I wanted to combine my love of that with my love of really gripping, edge-of-your-seat thrillers that were made popular by Robert Ludlum and by Frederick Forsyth. So this is really a combination of both, you know, combining it's a travelogue, it's a story of justice, of revenge, but set on some of the most dynamic, exciting places in the world.
Yeah. For yourself, Christopher, have you always known, you know, and I know for yourself, when I was prepping for the segment, I got a chance to watch some interviews you've done, some of them over a decade ago, and you, the passion that you have for storytelling was just as evident then as I think it is now. But have you always known that this was the gift, that this, that writing was your sweet spot that you've been given?
Well, I guess I have two parts to that answer. First, I did know that I had some talent writing earlier on. Having said that, I certainly didn't plan or aim to be a novelist early on in life. You know, I went to Georgetown University, then the University of Texas, where I got my MBA. I worked in Switzerland at the Union Bank of Switzerland for a number of years. So I was a banker. I was really hell-bent on, you know, trying to make a fortune, be a real capitalist, let's say, until one day I didn't, and I realized I wanted to pursue a different path in life. And I said, you know, I think I can write novels and thrillers, my favorites, like Ken Follett, like Frederick Forsyth, like Tom Clancy. So I quit my job in Switzerland, moved back to America, and said, okay, let's make it happen.
And the rest, as they say, is definitely history. I think for anyone, even if Matterhorn is their first book to pick up of yours, Chris, not only do they get a complete story, they get a really, I think, intimate look at Decker. And it's so interesting thinking about this character because in some ways Decker is larger than life. In other ways, though, he is a human, right? He is someone who is, you know, wrestling with, of course, trying to do what is right, also dealing with, of course, things with family, which we are able to know in the book. But also the same issues that a lot of us deal with, that being trust and, you know, who can you turn to, you know, when things get tough. Talk to us about the making of Decker. How did he come about for you?
Well, first of all, he really embodies one of my kind of, not passions, but real interests, which is what I call the super empowerment of the individual, you know, in the 21st century. A single man with the help of the internet, with some skills he's learned, has the ability at his fingertips to almost act like, you know, a national intelligence agency. That combined with an ability that people don't get old so quickly anymore. You know, I'm just a little bit past 60, and I'm stronger and fitter than I was when I was 30. And Max certainly embodies that. He's had to go hide up in the mountains for 8 years due to a betrayal that we learn about in the story. But during that time, he's made himself stronger, fitter, smarter. So when he does come out, you know, to seek justice, when something terrible happens with his family, you know, he's ready. I think it's completely believable and expected now that, you know, a hero who's pushing 60, you know, is able to go in there and kick ass and confront men and women, you know, years younger and come out victorious.
And I think that is the interesting thing. I'm so glad you brought that up. And for myself and reading the book, Chris, I have to say the age part is something, and I think anyone who reads this book, no matter what their age may be, it really does show it really is about the person. And it was an interesting kind of contrast in many ways for me, Chris, when I was reading the book, because there are so many layers to the story. I'll talk around some of this. But one of the characters that we also meet is a character named Jane McCall. And there's also the idea of Jane and Jane thinking about what may or may not happen for her, right, in her life because of things that have happened. Talk to us about that. What was it like for you to have individuals like Jane and others we meet in the book who are kind of thinking about themselves, their own futures and pursuit, and their own idea of worthiness? Because I think that's another thing we get with Decker, making sure that life matters. What was it like for you to create that with similar characters like Jane?
Well, one of the things in Matterhorn is there's a lot of secrets, secret identities, secret motivations. We don't know exactly who all these characters are, where they come from, or what are they after, you know, what are they going after? So it's fun to create, you know, I try to write books from many points of view. You have Mac, who's our hero, and Jane, who's brought in to actually pursue Mac to help track him down. She's with the CIA. And so Mac, you know, he's being pursued by the national police, by national intelligence agencies, not just the Americans, but also by his, by let's say his nemesis, a person he grew up with, American-born Russian named Ilya Ivashko, who used to be his best friend. So the book really works on a number of levels, and it's really fun to explore these characters. They're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, who am I? You know, and they're all after the same thing, which is, you know, Mac is trying to find out who killed his son and will stop at nothing. And others are trying to just find out where is Mac and they're trying to stop him. Meanwhile, we learn there's another much larger conspiracy afoot, you know, very topical involving the Russians in Ukraine. And so, you know, Mac, to find his son's killer, will also have to confront the people behind this terrible conspiracy. And hopefully he could put an end to it, you know. And, of course, the book always is winding toward this great confrontation that takes place where else but on the Matterhorn.
Yeah. So not to give anything away, Christopher, I want to ask you, did you go into Matterhorn? And, again, in part of my prep, of course, I watch and listen to other interviews that you've done, but I'm curious for our audience, did you go into Matterhorn knowing exactly where you wanted to take it, or was that part of the fun for you, how you were going to get to the conclusion of the book?
Well, I did know where I want to take it because this book really was born out of my love of climbing and particularly my admiration for climbers like Alex Honnold, who climbed El Capitan without any ropes, so well documented in the movie Free Solo, directed by Jimmy Chin. I thought, my God, we have to take a story like that. You know, these people that are running up and down these mountains with almost complete disregard for their lives and set it on the Matterhorn, which is, I've spent a lot of time in Zermatt. I've been up on that mountain, and I wanted to dramatize, really put it, bring a tale of espionage, you know, a crackling thriller, you know, a globe-trotting, bomb-ticking thriller, and set it on the Matterhorn. So to answer your question, I knew it had to end somewhere on or near the Matterhorn.
I tell you, what a great thing. And I think for a lot of people, as they're discovering this, they will definitely be able to see why this is a book that has gotten so much great attention. I must say, for those who are just tuning in, welcome. You all are listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome New York Times bestselling author Christopher Reich to our broadcast today. Christopher's celebrating his newest number one bestseller. It's called Matterhorn. We're talking with him not only about the book, but also what it's been like for him to bring these characters to life. I want to ask you about the reader for a second. I mentioned earlier, of course, that when your new books come out, readers are always excited to get them, but they also are excited, Christopher, as you know already, to talk about them, and the reviews have already been pouring in. What has that been like for you, to see how these readers really not only, you know, get into these stories, but really do respect you as an author and a storyteller?
You know, first of all, I do pay close attention to these reviews, because when you receive so many, I think we've gotten over 7,000 reviews for the new book in the last, you know, 10 days or so. The reader, you know, I really respect my readers. I try to give them a product that they want, that they love, but I pay attention to see what they like about it and what they don't. And, you know, if I see something that's glaring and a lot of people are complaining about something, then I always try to take that into account. But, you know, Cyrus, when you write a book, it's like doing homework by yourself up in your room for a year with the door closed. Then all of a sudden the book comes out and you were waiting with bated breath to see what grade the teacher gives it. And, you know, the teacher is the readers. So, yeah. So far so good. People are, you know, I write the kind of book that I love to read, which is, you know, fast-paced, internationally set thriller with high stakes, a lot of emotion. There's a big love story in this story in Matterhorn involving Mac and a woman he had to give up, the true love of his life, Ava Atal, who was an agent for the Mossad. He's forced to seek her help, and in doing so, they rekindle their passions. So to answer your question, I'm very happy people seem to dig this book, and I certainly loved writing it.
And I think for another thing, I have to say this, as someone who's never traveled internationally, I've barely traveled, I think, half of the states in this country. Christopher, I think that the thing that we love about your book, well, I can speak for myself as a reader, is that you make us feel like we're there. And it's interesting hearing you talk about, and I've heard you say this before about them being fast-paced, everything, timing is such a big part, almost a character of itself in your books, right? Because, you know, as these characters are going through, in many ways it is a race against time. So it really does show, I think, for one of the things I love about your books, and even now with Matterhorn, is that it really is about, like, whether it's Decker or others, making that time count. How much does that message resonate with you as an individual, making sure that you're making your time count?
Oh, absolutely. Especially in this day and age, you know, people don't read books like James Clavell's Shogun very much anymore, 1,200-page, you know, historical dramas. People have a limited amount of time. They want to pick something up. They want to be entertained and taken to faraway places. I know I love reading books that are set in a foreign atmosphere, books about discovery, set anywhere, Europe, Asia. And so I have lived all over, and I try to bring that experience to the story and make it palpable that when you're, you know, in Matterhorn, you're going to feel like you're driving along the Lake of Lucerne with the mountains overhead with the storm clouds, you know, scudding low over the lake, or at the end that you are really climbing up the Matterhorn. You could feel the rock beneath your fingertips. You could, you know, feel the wind rustling your hair. All that's very important for me, that the reader be transported and entertained, you know, in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I have to say, I mean, congratulations to you on another page turn. The book in itself is so entertaining, but it also definitely keeps you engaged and really draws you into the story. And you're able to feel, even in entertainment, feel the urgency of the moment, and as well as, of course, the passion of the characters, especially when it comes to Mac Decker. So I'm excited to see definitely what happens with him next. Again, everyone, New York Times bestselling author Christopher Reich has been our guest. Matterhorn is the newest book. Make sure you guys get your copy. It's available, of course, through our friends at Amazon.com in its various forms. You can also get it through your favorite local bookstore as well. Christopher, what about for yourself? How can our audience stay connected with you?
You can stay connected with me. Facebook, Instagram, just look for Christopher Reich or Christopher Reich Books, and, of course, my website, www.christopherreich.com. I love hearing from my readers.
All right. Well, Christopher, thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to our next chat together.
You bet. Thanks, Cyrus. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.